Second Kings chapter 4, please. I like to pray before preaching, but before that, please keep it ready. Everybody is ready. Then I pray. Then we will dive into the message. Everybody is ready? Okay, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this hour, for this moment, for this church. We thank you for our salvation, for the precious blood of your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that you saved us once forever. You paid the penalty of our sins. And we are thankful to you for giving us the opportunity to even hearing your name and understanding it and getting saved only and only by your grace through faith. Father, we pray to you that you allow us at this moment to not only hear your word but understand it by the power of your Holy Spirit. And I'm not worthy even to stand up in your church and talk to the congregation. I'm not worthy of this. I'm not worthy of even being saved. I'm here only because of your mercy and grace. Father, I pray that you enable me to deliver this message by your power. And please prepare our ears, hearts, to be hearers and doers of your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. 2 Kings chapter 4, we will read from verse 1 to 7. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elijah, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elijah said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go, sell the oil, and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. Amen. We just read seven verses of chapter 4, the book of 2 Kings. And amen to every word we just read. Please keep attention to verse 2. When Elijah said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? Meaning, what do you have in your home where you live? What do you have there? In this message of God's word, we read about a widow who was in big trouble. She didn't have any source of income. She was in trouble, not for her own debt, but for her husband's debt. who wasn't even alive at the moment, but the creditor, meaning who lent the money to her husband, now is after her two sons. And in that world, this situation equals death for her because she didn't have any source of income. Nobody was kind enough to hand her money, and only in a short time she would be in even worse situation than this. She could die easily at that situation. Basically, when she was showed in the frame of Bible, we see her out of any option. She was there to receive the support of God, to receive the instruction of what to do exactly. And we hear that what Elijah told her, it was a very detailed instruction. Go and ask for these things. Ask for many of those vessels, empty vessels. Ask your close neighbors. Don't ask for a few, ask for many, empty. And when you receive them, go home and close the door. Don't invite anyone. Only you and your two sons should be there. And pour from the vessel of oil that you already have to the empty vessels that you received from your neighbors. It's very detailed instructions. And at the same time, a simple one. Not too complicated, doable. It is physically impossible to do that on our own. She couldn't do it on her own power, but it was God's miracle. And what is God's miracle? It's very simple to understand. God put many, many physic laws in this world that we are living. And he is the only person who can decide to go around it whenever he wants, however he wants. And he decided to go around his own physical laws in this world with pouring many, filling many vessels out of one vessel of oil. That was his miracle. He could choose many other ways. He could just shower from heaven. He could shower oil from heaven. He could do that. He could order the earth to bring forth oil vessels. He could do that, but he didn't. He's able to do that, but he didn't. The reason is in the verse 2. What hast thou in the house? There is an important lesson right there. God wanted that widow see what he has gave her at the beginning, before the miracle. She didn't buy that vessel on her own money. That vessel of oil was put there by God. Because everything is created by God. Everything is given from God. God wanted her to see what she was there before. What hast thou in the house? And at the end of verse 7, what we see is when she go back to Elijah, she says, okay, now what? I saw the miracle. What should I do now? Because she doesn't want to do the next thing on her own. She is asking for more instruction. I'm already learning a lot of things. And Elijah told her, go sell the oil and pay thy debt and live thou and thy children of the rest. And right there is another pattern. God not only took care of her payments for her debt, but he also gave her more to live out of, more oil to sell, and it was enough for her and her sons to live off. Let's go to Exodus chapter 4, the first five verses of Exodus 4. Exodus 4, 1, 2, 5. And here is when Moses is arguing with God when he said, go and do these things, and Israelites will receive you, but the Pharaoh won't receive you, and I'm going to challenge him, and many other details. And again, Moses was saying, maybe I'm not the person, I don't have enough power, how can I do that? And right here in chapter 4, verse 1 to 5, we read, and Moses answered and said, but, oh my goodness, I don't want to answer the Lord with starting with but. Not good. Not good. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thy hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand, and caught it. And it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. Amen. So what we just read is, after Moses complaining and not even trusting the Lord, he saw the miracle. What was the miracle? God asked him a question again in verse 2. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. Who created the rod that Moses had in his hand? God. For bringing forth snakes, serpents, God doesn't need a piece of rod. He doesn't need that. He could just throw serpents from the heaven on earth. He could do that. In Genesis 1, we read that God ordered the earth to bring forth all the creatures. He could do that again. But why he was asking for a rod? Same reason. He wanted to Moses see what God put in Moses' hand before even he meet the Lord. What you have in your hand, Moses, I'm going to bless that. And right after that, again, there is a detailed but easy to do instruction. Hold it, cast the serpent by the tail, not by the head. And if you go and ask any person who deal with serpents, snakes, they know you should not ever hold the snake by the tail. There's a very important detail right there, because Moses weren't the person who could hold the serpent by the head. It was Jesus who could do that, to smash the head of serpent. But Moses wasn't allowed to do that. I'm glad Moses didn't argue after that, because there would be a different story right after that. What is in thine hand? What do you have in your hand, Moses? What do you have in your home, widow? What do you have there? I put it there. I want you to see it. Now let's go to our New Testament, Mark chapter 6. Mark 6. Verses 34 to 44. It's great because we have many verses to read, and it means I don't need to talk a lot. We can read a lot, and that's the best thing I like. You don't need my words. We can just read the Word of God, and then we can say, bye, God bless you. Let's go home. Mark chapter 6, 34 to 44. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. He answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? Wait a moment right here. 200 penny worth, meaning 200 loaf of bread. And we know at the end how many people ate. There was only 5,000 men with their families. At least 15,000 to 20,000 people were there. I would like that Jesus told them, okay, go buy 200 penny worthy bread. I want to see what you do with that. That wouldn't be good. And I'm glad that the Lord knows how much I don't know. I want to put it mildly. I have many other words to say, but because English is not my first language, I don't want to risk it. Yeah? I'm not smart enough. That's why I'm not going to argue with the Lord. When he says do it, I should do it. Okay, let's go back to our verse. And yes, verse 37. He answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? He saith unto them, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. And we know they were with their families. It wasn't a men conference. It was full of families there. So, the point is in verse 37, many points, but the one that we want to emphasize is in verse 37, how many loaves have ye? God didn't need 5 loaves to feed 5,000 men with their families. He could rain the earth with heavenly loaves of bread. And this wouldn't be the first time. He did it for 40 years. He does not need 5 loaves to begin with. But there's a reason he asked them, how many loaves have ye? Go and see, meaning go and check. How many you have? It's amazing that when they found out how many loaves they had, they came to Jesus with an answer, and they brought the 5 loaves and 2 fishes to him. He blessed, let's see, in verse 41, and blessed and break the loaves and gave them to his disciples. I don't think if every one of those 5,000 with their families knew what was going on right there. But the disciples knew what's going on. And again, we see the order. He asked the disciples to sit them in ranks, in groups of hundreds and fifties. We see the order. And God gave the blessed bread and fishes to the disciples and had them to give to people. So who saw the miracle? The disciples. Not the attendees. The disciples. Not the attendees only, but the disciples saw the miracle. Because in obedience, here comes many, many blessings and miracles. So let's turn to Mark chapter 8, only 2 chapters ahead. Mark chapter 8, and again, the first 9 verses. Hallelujah, many verses to read. In those days, the multitude began being very great and having nothing to eat. The same scenario, basically. Jesus called his disciples unto him and said unto them, I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. So, stop here, please. In verse 2, Jesus says, I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. What the Word of God tells us about bread and eat. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 4:4. Matthew 4:4. Keep your hands in Mark 8, but turn to Matthew 4:4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now let's turn to Mark 8, verse 2. The second part. Because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. Matthew 4:4. The concept is, we need to eat the Word of God every day. And if you don't eat it for 3 days, the Lord is thinking about us. Maybe we are in danger. Right? We will be in a dangerous place. It's not like open the Word of God every 3 days. We should eat it daily. But basically, if it's the second day we didn't open it, we're in more danger. And third day, Jesus is thinking even more now. How he can remind us that we need the Word of God. Verse 3, and if I sent them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way, for divers of them came from far. And his disciples answered him, from whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? Does anyone want to answer this question to his disciples? Who can do this? Right? It's only like 2 chapters after Mark 6. Who can do this? We already forgot. Maybe we are suffering from forgetfulness. The Lord can do this, and the Lord is living with them and us at the same time. Go figure. Verse 5, and he asked them, how many loaves have ye? Again, the same question. And they said, 7. And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks. You can highlight the part it says, and gave thanks, and break, and gave to his disciples. Again, not directly to people, to his disciples, and then his disciples give it to others to set before them, and they did set them before the people, and they had a few small fishes, and he blessed and commanded to set them also before them. So they did eat and were filled, and they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets, and they that had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away. Same, exactly same pattern we read in that widow's life. What do you have in house? I'm going to bless that. And not only it will take care of your issue with the creditors, you will have extra. You will have more blessing. It will be more. There will be remaining. Again, we see the same pattern in Mark 6 and Mark 8. Same thing. Again, he did not need any loaf of bread or fishes or anything to feed the multitude. But why? He asked them, what do you have? Go ask. Check how many loaves of bread you have. The reason is, he gave them something before, and he wants them to know that, recognize that, check that. It's the same thing for us. We are coming from comfortable homes. Do we see it? Probably I have more things than I needed. Same as you. I'm more than sure we have more things that we need. We are living above the standard lives, not only here. I'm coming from a third world country, and I think I'm allowed to say that. Even in my third world country, they also have more than what they need. Do I see it? I don't think so, because I have problem. I have issues seeing it. It is me. Don't know about you. I have problem seeing what God already gave me, and it's in my very little pocket that it's here. I only have to check it. He put it right there. But maybe, I don't know, my eyes, my finger, my brain, something is off with me. I cannot find it. I cannot see it. When I was reading those verses and putting it together, I found the same issue with our earthly eyes. Some people have a very common issue with their sight. It is called hyperopia or farsightedness. It's a physical eye issue. Hyperopia or farsightedness is a refractive error in the eye. In this type of disorder, a person sees distant objects clearly, but close objects are blurry. According to official statistics, between 10 to 30% of the world's population is farsighted, which I guess there are glasses for that they can use. They can see better after that. And We are living in the era that you can go and check your eyes with doctor, and there's many, many cure for that, I guess. But then I found unthankfulness, which is exactly the same thing, but this time, spiritual eyes. Unthankfulness is a doctrinal issue. An unthankful person, which I am sometimes, easily imagines his big, unattainable, and distant wishes, but is unable to see the blessings that God has given to him today. Based on empirical observations, which means basically just seeing around, all humans naturally suffer from this issue. I do suffer from this issue. I've ordered probably over $35 ties from Temu, and I'm still looking for more. Something is wrong with me. I'm more than sure, because even if I want to put tie every day, I have more than enough, right? But why I'm still looking for more? Because I don't see if it's enough. I always want more and more. And it's not only about ties, right? It's about everything. God already blessed us with many, many things. And there is nothing wrong with God. There is nothing wrong with His ways. There is nothing wrong with the way He operates. But I'm more than sure there is something wrong with my spiritual eyes. When I was reading this, I couldn't help but to see the pattern. God is asking them, what do you have in your home? What do you have in your hand? What I put in your life? Do you see it? Bring it. Bring it. I'm going to bless what I already gave you. It's going to be more blessing for you if you see it. If you give thanks for it, I'm going to bless what I already give you. But do you see it? Yasin, I don't think so if you saw it. Go and see how many loaves you have. Something needs to be changed in my spiritual life, in my walk with God. I have to put away this character of being needy and complaining about every little thing in life. And I need to trust the Lord, read the Word of God daily, not every 3 days, but daily. And then, recognizing this, God put details here. So He is very precise about everything that He's saying. Lest I read it not precisely and not with paying great attention. Because, just for example, if He told Moses to hold the snake by the tail, if he didn't pay attention to that part, it would be a different story. So if He says something here, I have to read it carefully and keep it carefully, because He put words there for a reason. He wants me to go and check my home, check my hands, check my pockets, check my phone, and bring what He gave me, and He will bless it. I will have even more blessing if I see what God already gave me, bring it back to Him. He will bless it, and I will have even more blessings. But I have to pay attention to His word. He's asking very specific questions about life, and I have to have very specific, precise answer to His questions. And it needs to go and see carefully with open eyes. With open eyes, I have to go and check carefully what he already gave me. Take it back to him. Lord, I saw what you gave me. Thank you. You can do whatever. If you don't bless it, you're still the Lord. If you bless it, you're still the Lord. Your being Lord is not depending on how much blessings I'm receiving. But this conversation is all about, I saw what you already gave me. Thank you, Lord. That's it. This is the pattern that I found here. And I'm more than sure he is going to help us this week, next week, and for the rest of our life. Let's see what God gave us. Let's check how many ties we have at home. Maybe we don't need more, right? God bless you. Let's pray.